Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three they will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and in-laws against one another." Jesus also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say immediately, 'It is going to rain,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. And children, if you would come forward to help proclaim the good news of the gospel, that would be a delight. Oh, thank you. Walks on her own. Well, almost. Well, I'm bringing out an old picture for us to look at. Maybe you remember it, you all. A couple weeks ago, we told the story of the Good Samaritan. If you remember, you all remember that as well. And we made a kind of, is that upside down? No. We made a big thing about the happiness of the donkey. But today is an interesting story about division. Jesus says that there will be, he didn't come to bring peace, but he came to divide. Now that seems to be a strange thing. But I wanted to use this picture as an illustration of what Jesus meant by division. Now, in that story of the Good Samaritan, there was a poor man who had been beaten up and left in the ditch. And does anybody remember what happened? These two folks came by, and did they help him? No, they didn't. They passed on by, and you can see them. Their backs are turned, their heads are in the air, don't want anything to do with him. But who helped? The Good Samaritan. So I think this is a great illustration of what Jesus means by "I have come to bring division." Jesus presents the opportunity for us to be in union with all those who are in need, to be helping those who need to be cared for. But sometimes we pass by the other side, and so we are divided. But look at how happy that donkey is. He's so happy, I think, because there is peace in his heart, and he reflects God's care for all of us. So it isn't Jesus that intends to divide us, but we divide ourselves out when we don't care for one another. So let's have a prayer together and pray for the care of God's world and for all people. Would you stand up and gather around? More hand. Oh. We're working on unity here yet. Yes. Dear God, we give you thanks that you bind us together through your love, and you bind us together by sending us to help all those who are in need. We ask your blessing upon these children, that they might know your peace is always for them in their hearts, and that they might share that peace with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. So I use that story in part to say, make no mistake, Jesus has come, despite those words and those maybe that confusing story, to bring peace. As I was thinking about it, it takes my heart and mind back to all the Christmas announcements. Prior to Jesus' birth, Advent, if you will, you remember the prophet Zechariah prophesies that Jesus will prepare God's way. Jesus will give light into the darkness. And the final line of his prophecy is that Jesus will guide our feet into the ways of peace. And then, particularly in the Gospel of Luke, the great story of the angels coming, and they sing what we just sang in the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. It is the great Christmas proclamation. It is God's intention to bring glory and peace to us. And then if you also recall a few weeks ago, we had the story of Jesus sending out the 70. And what was his instruction when we are to come to people's house? It is to say, peace to this house. So we bring peace to others. But as my great teacher and our former member, whom we stay in union with through our faith in Christ Jesus, Fred Danker wrote, Jesus did not come, however, to offer peace at a discount. I thought that was a great line. But it also then reminds me of the great theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who says Jesus didn't come to offer cheap grace. And I was struck by the message or just the description of Jesus in this story, what great stress he was under. But I think that great stress is the recognition that it is he who will pay the full price. Jesus came bringing, he says, a fiery peace. He's not ratifying the status quo. He's not nostalgic for the old days, the old ways. Jesus' division is much like it says in, the letter to the Hebrews, breaking up hearts of stone. Jesus' division is actually an opening, a possibility, a call to a new community, to reverse old status hierarchies. Jesus uses the image of divided households to describe what happens. Father against son, mother against daughter, in-laws against one another. Is this not an exact description of the divided reality of our society? Does this description not resonate in your families, in mine? I know it does. Among our friends, among our communities, we are so divided. Despite this opposition, however, Jesus' goal is not divisiveness, but it again is to crack open our understanding of family, to broaden it out, to be more inclusive and welcoming, to extend the welcome of community, for a more profound and life-giving unity, for like the Samaritan, to care for the one who is in the ditch, to not be divided and pass that person by. Strikes me that as a nation, we have been struggling with this passage since our very inception, and we are revisiting it now with a vengeance. Again, Jesus is not calling for the destruction of family, but for a new idea, a broader, more inclusive understanding, a new idea of nation, if you will, of community. And ironically, isn't that the inclusive ideal that we actually announce as a country in our founding principles? Jesus asks in this lesson, and I think it's a question Jesus asks of all of us each day, why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is Jesus' description and identification of sinfulness. We do not know how to interpret the present time. The question might be then, How is it that we interpret it? What kind of choices do we make? Do we pass by on the other side, or do we embrace those who are in need? Jesus gives a clue as to how fundamental and even obvious the choice is. You see a cloud, it's going to rain. You get 100 degree temperature and humidity in St. Louis, you're going to sweat. It's hot. It strikes me also, isn't it extremely ironic that in the context of these examples, in our own country, in our own world, we can't agree on the weather as a sign? Maybe it's more accurate to say agree on climate issues. What does the hottest July in 150 years of recorded weather history suggest to us? Can we read the signs? I think it does tell us exactly what human sin is: dividing people in order to gain power or to keep power over others, over their lives. This is the type of division and behavior that is fundamentally and absolutely against the will of God, as expressed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Do we divide ourselves from others in order to gain and keep power? Or, as Jesus sees, does great division occur because power and life and acceptance is being given to others, and people do not want to do that? Recently, like last week, 10 days ago, at the churchwide convention, the ELCA voted to become a sanctuary church body. The only one in the U.S., I might say. This is an interpretation of the present time. But this interpretation will divide. As a church, we've already been called out by Fox News. But I was talking, this is a good thing, right? Yeah. But I also know that within our own family, I've talked to members of other churches who have heard from their own members, ELCA members, threatening to withhold contributions. We become divided within our family. But that isn't the intention. The truth of the interpretation is in the solidarity, the unity being asserted between the church and the lost. And this is really Luke's term: I come to seek and save the lost, the outcast, the excluded. This paradox of division, Jesus' activities for unity that divide, this paradox mirrors Jesus' life, death, his purpose for being sent. Jesus did not come to die, but to give life. Yet, Jesus' absolute faithfulness to that mission, to God's own purpose of giving life to all, lifting up particularly the lost and excluded, set him on his course to Jerusalem and to the cross. In the Gospel of Luke, particularly this section that we've been reading from, I think it's 9:51, where he says, "I must go to Jerusalem." He knows he's going to be heading for the cross. And indeed, in this very lesson, when he talks about a baptism that he must be baptized with, it is his prediction of his death and resurrection. So in the gospel, Jesus does announce that he must go to Jerusalem. He is journeying to Jerusalem and the cross. But every action, every step of the way, his ministry is about bringing life to many, bringing life to any who accept. Jesus has not come to choose up political sides. His way of action, faithful to God's call, is not to announce that God is on one side or the other, but for him and for us to be on the side of those whose life is denied or threatened. Bishop Eaton and the ELCA mirrors this reality in statements. Likewise, has announced that We are not picking political sides. It is simply being faithful to the gospel of Jesus, who calls for us to stand up for and with those who are pushed down. How do we interpret our present times? Jesus asks us each day, kind of mirrors that phrase of a couple weeks ago, that our lives are being demanded of us each day. Or we could say our lives are being presented to us each day. How do we interpret the present time, our lives? At the end of the day, we all experience being pushed down. And I think of the many prayers we have in our congregation of folks that are experiencing health difficulties or life difficulties. But as we confess, as we examine our own hearts, we know that we have sometimes, maybe often, failed to lift others up. Our salvation is not a matter of choosing political sides, although decisions inevitably place us one place or another. But it is a matter of being faithful to the one who stands with all the lost, even us, upon the cross, and announces the promises of life and the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of our failure. This is announced in his resurrection for us. So, sisters and brothers all gathered, make no mistake, Jesus has come to give you peace and to give you the strength and the power and the spirit of life that you might share this with others in unity, in love, and care. Amen.